Hello and welcome to episode 193 of the Live to Walk Again podcast. My name is Jeremy Dixon, your host as always. With me today, got Ricardo Benavides. Ricardo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jeremy.
Brandon,
how you doing?
I'm good. Brandon, I've been following along through his social media links, his trip to Italy. I guess they went to London and now they're in Italy, and then they were going to go to France as well. But there was a pretty cool video his wife must have shot of him and the boys playing basketball, like in the shadows of the Colosseum in Rome. It was pretty amazing. There's like a basketball court off somewhere near there, and yeah, you could just see the Colosseum in the background of them playing a little pickup game of basketball.
Very cool. Hey, you know, I was thinking, isn't his last name Stevens?
Yeah.
He should start his own travel show, like the Rick Steves show. He should just start doing that, like on PBS.
There you go. It's funny, man. Mm-hmm. I never heard of Rick Steves before. I sold my van to his sister for their father. The Chevy Uplander I had.
Oh, really?
He was like, oh, yeah, my dad or my brother's Rick Steves. And I was like, I have no idea who that is, but okay, awesome. And then I went and looked it up and I was like, oh, man, this guy's got he's pretty big travel, whatever, documentary.
Guru. Yeah, he's a travel guru.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Small world.
Yeah.
Small world. Speaking of vans, before we get into this week's guest, I got dropped off at my nephew's little league baseball game last week. And probably right after we got done recording this recording episode 192, and was out there at the game watching, having a good time, whatever. I'd sent my caregiver to go fill the van up with gas. Van started acting up. Anyway, long story short, I think the head gaskets are blown on my van, and I've been stuck at home for the last week. I ended up having to figure out how to ride the city bus home. I haven't taken the city bus in about 30 years. Shout out to the lady that was possibly, I thought she was dead when I got on the bus, but she was alive and well because she woke up every 3 minutes coughing. So I'm pretty sure I got whatever the next version of the coronavirus is from her on the bus. I was just praying for health at that moment. It was about as bad as you could expect riding a city bus would be at this point. So,
you know, one of the things, Jeremy, is that there are no ordinary days for people with spinal cord injuries. True. You know, there are really nothing is routine, you know. Nothing is routine. And the fact that, you know, when you called, how long did the one service say they were going to take to pick you up?
Oh, like 3 hours. Yeah, we tried to call a couple different paratransit places. And like, oh, we could be there in about 3 hours. And it was already 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was quickly cooling off last week. So, yeah, it was a wild evening. And somebody pulled up. Me and Matt are waiting. Yeah, my brother Matt are waiting at the bus stop. And some people that I know pull up and they're like, Jeremy, the hell are you doing on the side of the bus? I'm just like, man, I got to catch this bus. All right. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, on to better things. Ricardo, we have an awesome, awesome guest this week. I've been trying to get her on the show for a while now. Her name is Amber Baranzini. She is a spinal cord injury survivor and a hair salon owner and a disability advocate. She lives down in San Diego, California. And yeah, just kind of a crazy story. She's had a ton of recovery. She can walk pretty well. I know she mentions in the the podcast that she has a little bit of drop foot, I think, on her left foot, and, you know, still deals with like nerve pain and things like that, but she's able to get around pretty well for having suffered a pretty traumatic spinal cord injury back 10 years ago, I believe. So
it was great, you know, all these people's stories, I can picture myself in these stories, you know. My buddy and I, we were 18 years old, leaving here, heading to Los Angeles from Seattle, and we decided to drive all night. And just south of Redding, you know, he says, "Hey, let me drive for a while." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Are you good?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm good." Well, he fell asleep, and we hit the median, and that woke us both up. And luckily, we didn't flip, but it really, now we were wide awake, but yeah, you know, luckily it didn't mess my car up too bad, but it could have been.
That's the same story with Amber. Like, she was, her mother was in the back seat. And I mean, thank God she wasn't injured either, you know? But the driver, I guess, fell asleep at the wheel. They were driving between Southern California and Northern California, where she grew up. And yeah, whoever was driving fell asleep at the wheel, like 20 or 30 minutes after stopping for gas around 2 a.m. in that kind of like dead area of Central California on I-5, and they flipped, I think she said, a few times, and she got thrown out of the car. But I mean, yeah, like, to think about a car flipping over multiple times, and I mean, thank God everybody in the car wasn't injured or killed, even, for that matter. It's such an insane story. And thank God she's very lucky. And I think that's the thing that I really like, that you can really tell, like, she kind of lives every day to the fullest, and just through her social media and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, it's great that, like, the gratitude that she kind of shows for having come out of that and being in the position she's in now is awesome. So
it is.
Really enjoyed our conversation, and I appreciate her coming on the show. Yeah, we'll get into the interview right now. This week on the Live to Walk Again podcast, we are super excited to visit with Amber Baranzini. She is a salon owner, a spinal cord injury survivor, and a disability advocate. Amber, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to finally get you on.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here and share my story.
Awesome. Yeah, well, let's just get right into it then. You know, for anybody that doesn't already know your story, because they follow you on Instagram, you wouldn't necessarily know if it didn't say in your bio that you had a spinal cord injury. You know, you might not know that you had that situation happen. So, like, how did your injury happen, and kind of when and where and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so I was in a car accident in October of 2014. And I feel like in that time, 2014, Instagram was just becoming, like, I feel like a little couple years before that, but Instagram was becoming more of a thing. And so when my accident happened, I didn't share much about it. It was kind of like I hid behind the screen instead of sharing my story with everybody. So even to this day, I rarely share my, you know, struggles from my spinal cord injury, but it's really a forever thing. So I was in a car accident in 2014. I was a passenger, and the driver fell asleep at the wheel going like 80 miles an hour. It was about 2 a.m. and we were driving from Southern California to Northern California. I live in SoCal now, but I'm from NorCal. So we were driving, making that drive, which I had done so many times before. We stopped for gas maybe 20 minutes before the accident happened. It was, you know, I think it was like 1:30 when we stopped for gas, and the driver said he was fine. He had, you know, plenty of juice left in him, and he was ready to go. And I was, you know, 2 a.m, just all comfortable with my seat back, sleeping. And yeah, I guess he just dozed off, and we were it was kind of at that point on the freeway. It was in the middle of nowhere from, you know, on I-5, just the stretch of 200 miles of nothing. And it was maybe a 6-foot drop on the embankment. So when he realized, he like dozed off and woke up, he saw taillights, I guess, and freaked out and turned the wheel, overcorrected really hard. And we went down the embankment, and then our car flipped about 6 times. And at one of those, I didn't have my seatbelt on. And at one of those times we flipped, I must have hit my head on the passenger window and shattered it, because then one of the times we flipped, I flew out of the car. So I woke up about 60 feet from where the car landed, and my mom was in the back seat. She was okay. She had some bruised ribs, and he had a scratch on his head. And I just remember, like, I blacked out during that all happening. And then I remember the sound of my mom's voice. It was pitch black, like a semi truck saw it happen. So they stopped and called 911, whatever. But I just remember hearing my mom's voice, like, "Oh my gosh, where's Amber? Where's Amber?" And I just, but I don't know what woke me up, but I was just like, "Mom, I'm over here. Like, I'm okay. I can't get up. Like, I can't move my legs." And yeah, so that's how it happened.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, thank God your mom was okay. And I guess the driver only got a scratch too. I mean, that's always a good thing, I guess. No, you know, you're the only person that does end up getting hurt, but yeah, I mean, God, so you're out in the middle of nowhere. Do they, how long, I mean, and you're probably like in shock. So, you know, do you know like how long it is before an ambulance?
I don't have like timelines really, but I just remember like bits and pieces. So we were there for, I mean, I've got to say at least 30 minutes to an hour, before, because I think that, I don't even know, we were in, it's called Kings County where the accident happened, and they sent me to the Fresno Trauma Center. And so like, I don't know what ambulance came to get me, but then the ambulance met with a helicopter that then helicoptered me to the trauma center. So I remember just at one point, my mom thought I landed on a barbed wire fence that snapped and wrapped around me. And my mom thought I was like wrapped in blackberry bushes, or I was stuck in blackberry bushes. And so I remember her trying to untangle me, and she realized what it was. And she's just kind of like laid down and held my hand. And she's like, "You're gonna be okay." And you know, at one point I think I dozed off, and at one point I woke back up and I was just like, "I'm not doing good. Like, I don't know how, like, where the ambulance, like, I don't know how much longer, like, I don't, you know, sit like this." And then I remember the ambulance coming and getting in the ambulance. Then I was out again. Then I remember transferring from the ambulance into the helicopter, and then I was out. And then I remember waking up in the hospital, and, you know, I am super blind. Like, I wear glasses and contacts, and I didn't have like my glasses or anything at that point, because everything was everywhere from the car accident. And so I just remember, like, I don't remember seeing anything. I just remember hearing everything around me and all the doctors talking and, you know, them telling me what they think it is, like what they need to do. And so I don't really know timeline, but again, the accident happened maybe at 2 in the morning. I didn't get into surgery till like maybe 10 or 11 or 12 in the afternoon even. And then it was a 9-hour surgery that I was in. So I didn't wake up out of surgery until like 9 p.m. that next day.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a lot.
You like realize at some point during all of this that like, I can't, like, I know you said you couldn't move your legs. Like, are you having like a panic attack, like thinking like, you know, or like thinking of a spinal cord injury or anything like that?
I had never even broken a bone before this happened. So I don't think I had, like, I remember the doctor telling me after surgery, like, you know, you suffered a spinal cord injury and you know, you may never walk again. If you walk, you probably won't ever run again. And even when they said that, I still, because, you know, but until something happens to you, or someone in your family has something happen to them, or is born into like a spinal cord injury or something like that, it's, you don't know anything about it. You, like, I had no idea, you know, and they're like, "Oh, 2 years for recovery." Well, I'm almost 10 years now, and I still can't run. I can't stand on my tippy toes. I can't do certain things, but like, I had no idea when all that, like when I was in the hospital, what that even meant at that time.
And how old were you when this happened?
I was 18. I actually turned 19 in the hospital. So my birthday was 19 days after the accident. So I was still in the hospital at that point. And yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you go through surgery, you kind of wake up from that, and they say you have a spinal cord injury and you might not ever walk again. Like, what do they send you straight to a rehab? I mean, or is there a rehab in the trauma center that you're
Yeah,
taking?
so I had Kaiser at that time, and so I wasn't in a Kaiser trauma center. And so 2 days after my accident, they sent me to a Kaiser facility where it wasn't a rehab facility yet, but it was more just a care, like, I don't know, the hospital or the trauma center or something like that. And I was there for maybe 2 weeks before then they sent me over to a rehab facility where I was at for my timeline is iffy, but like a couple weeks to a month, where, they taught me transferring into a wheelchair and teaching my family how to get me up a curb or, all the things. It was just, yeah, when I think back about it, I can't even, it seems like a movie or something. It doesn't even seem real.
Right. So what level injury did you suffer?
Yeah, so my L4 was It was my L5, L4. So one was completely shattered and one was dislocated, which tore my spinal cord incompletely. So I have an incomplete spinal cord injury, which is why I have, I think recovered so much since then. But so I think my L5, since that one was shattered, I have a cadaver bone. And then I'm fused from my L4 all the way down to my sacrum. But yeah, so my injuries were L4. And then, like my equina quina, I don't know how to say it, the horse tails of your spinal cord were
Right.
all messed up. Yeah.
Okay. And so I guess so yeah, so going to rehab then, so you said you probably you got either between like 2 weeks and a month in rehab, which I mean is fairly good for today's standards, like they
Yeah.
try to get you out of there quick. And so did they say because it was incomplete that you did they say you might get some stuff back? You said basically they said if you are able to walk again, you probably won't be able to run. But
Yeah.
so yeah, like
I
what
think
talk about that kind
no,
of.
yeah. I think from what I remember it was, they said how long it took for your spinal cord to kind of reconnect it, regrow or something. And because the only hope that I had was that my spinal cord it wasn't completely severed. So they said what comes back within the first 2 years is probably it, and anything after that is like, kind of luck of the draw, but the first 2 years were the most important, and that's when I would see the most recovery, I guess. But yeah, I just remember them giving me that timeline of like 2 years.
Right. So coming out of rehab, and yeah, I always ask people like transitioning out of that hospital bubble that you've been like surrounded by nurses and everything for however long after your injury, and then having to go back to your real life. Like, are you like where are you at as far as like function and movement and stuff like that goes? Like coming out of rehab, and yeah, like so where are you at? Are you still are you completely like wheelchair dependent at that time? Are you able to like get up and move around a little bit gingerly or something? Or yeah, kind of where are you at that point?
Yeah, I remember I hated being in the hospital. I was that person who was super defiant and didn't want to do anything and was just miserable because I'm supposed to be out living my life. I'm an 18, 19-year-old like who just moved away from home, all that stuff. And so I think the reason why they kind of pushed me out, I probably should have stayed in the rehab facility longer, but they pushed me sooner because I was so miserable. And they're like, we think you'd be happier being at home. I went to live with my stepdad in Northern California right after that, but I still had my apartment in San Diego. And I was, I stood my goal at rehab was to stand up out of my wheelchair with assistance. So that was kind of where I was at when I left. I was very wheelchair dependent. Wasn't even really using a walker or anything at that time yet. So yeah, I was definitely in my wheelchair, needed help in and out of bed, needed help going to the bathroom, very much so, like not getting up. I had really, really bad nerve pain anytime I would stand up, like shooting, shocking, like electric shocks down my legs from like injury site, so middle back down to my legs. So I think that hindered me being able to, get up and walk around for a while.
Yeah, wow,
Yeah.
that's tough. So, you said you moved in with your stepdad. Were you able just to like move right into his place, or did you guys have to make renovations to his house, things like that to make it?
Yeah, luckily his house is flat, no stairs. That's why I went there. But yeah, I was only there for about a month because so he lives in Mendocino County, which is an hour north of Santa Rosa, where I grew up. And Santa Rosa was the closest Kaiser facility. So I had and I was supposed to be going to rehab like 4 or 5 times a week. And I'm fresh out of a car accident, like trauma wise. And driving on the freeway for an hour every 5 days a week was not fun. Like, I just remember freaking out. My mom's driving and she's like going like 45 on the freeway with her hazards on because I'm just like, ah, I can't do this, So I didn't stay there very long because it was almost worse to have to deal with that than try and. So my apartment in San Diego had like 4 steps, like 4 stairs to get into the apartment complex. And so that was why we didn't go there right away. And so then, yeah, after we left my stepdad's, we went back to my apartment and it was just me and my mom. And my mom's like 120-pound little thing, and we were so frustrated. I was crying, like we couldn't figure out how to get me up those 4 stairs. And I just remember, like, I was just like, sit me on the step, and she sat me on the step, and I like drug myself up the 4 steps and got in the house. But yeah, it was tough.
I bet.
Yeah.
What kind of role, I guess, did family and friends play in those initial kind of like days, and weeks and months and even years after your injury? Like,
Yeah, my family was there 99.99% of the time. My mom was there 100% of the time with me. I had various friends come and go from the hospital when I was there. But I think over the years, from my friends that were the ones that showed up at the hospital, I've kind of, I've moved back to San Diego and, lives just kind of separate. But my family has always been the biggest help and my biggest supporters in all of this. Like, would not be here today if it wasn't for their support and their help. And yeah, I think my family is definitely more than, like, my friends were great in that time, but as time went on and I kind of, all my friends were back in NorCal, and so it wasn't like they were making trips to see me in San Diego or anything, and which I totally understand. But yeah, my mom moved to SoCal to come help take care of me and take me to my rehab appointments and basically everything for, a long time. She lived in San Diego for like 6 years after my accident happened. So
wow, that's
yeah, I
that.
was very lucky to have her.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I saw you had to have a second surgery also, to remove some of the hardware that they had initially put in. What was that all about? Like, how nerve-wracking was that? And like, I guess how long after the initial kind of spinal fusion did they have to go in and do that?
So it was like very close to a year, maybe 11 months after the accident happened. So instead of being in the olden days, I guess, like they used to put people in like full body casts while their spine healed. But since then, things have gotten a little bit better. So while they're waiting for things to fuse together and heal, I had these really big, like they're, I don't know, 6 inches, 7 inches rods that went into my pelvis, I guess, that kind of like held everything together as it healed. And they said that would had to be there for, at least 9 months, and we can consider taking them out. But they were so long at that point, and I lost a lot of weight when I was in the hospital. Those rods were almost like sticking out of my back. Like they were inside my skin, but they were really uncomfortable. Like anytime I moved, they would like, I don't know, it was just so close to my skin. It was like, felt like they were going to rip out of my skin at any time. So I went to the doctors a few times to talk about getting those taken out because they were so uncomfortable. And finally they did the MRI and they said everything looked healed and that, they could take those out. So that was what I got done. They took those rods out, kept everything else in. So I still have, I think like 2 plates, 8 screws and some wire holding everything together. But, yeah, I was so nervous and so scared. And even to this day, it's almost been 10 years. I can't even go to the doctors to talk about my eyes without like having a trauma response. like nothing to even do with my back, but I just have that visceral response of like, I start sweating and, you know, I just, it, sometimes I cry just because like, I'm not even, I don't even know why. It's just my, my trauma response, I guess. But yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
I can only imagine. Yeah. I ended up my gallbladder taken out like probably a year and a half after my injury. And I was like terrified of having to go for surgery. It's crazy. Yeah.
Just especially when something happens to you, you know, all of the things that can happen, like from surgery or, you know, with spine, anything, like there's always the list of like, well, this could happen. So I was most afraid of like them going in there and hitting something they shouldn't touch and, you know, actually being paralyzed again, or I don't know. There's so many things that can happen. It's very, very scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I did see on your Instagram too, I was just been like, I had to go through trying to come up with questions for you.
I love that.
Your Instagram stuff. I saw your brother, your older brother is now a doctor of physical therapy. And had done some training and stuff with you over the years, but was he already going to do that? Or I just was curious if maybe he like changed his focus of like his education after your injury and kind of went down that road, or talk about that a little.
Yes. So he was a personal trainer just at 24 Hour, and he was, you know, loving that and making great money doing that. And he has told me that from the accident happening and just seeing how impactful the PTs were in my life, and, you know, that it was in his mind to do that, but it wasn't solidified yet because he didn't know if he wanted to, you know, go through all that schooling and be in, you know, the debt and all of that. But I think from my accident, definitely inspired him to go through with doing that. And he now owns his own practice and he's just doing amazing things. I'm so sad he's in NorCal, so I don't get to work with him as often. But when I do go visit, we try to, you know, get together and do stuff. But yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I know, so you're an 18 going on 19 year old young lady at the time of your accident. You know, obviously social media is a big thing in most of our lives at this point. And like as an 18 year old, I'm sure it was in your life. And then like, how difficult was that for you to like start posting about your injury? I know you said you don't share a whole lot, but you know, how difficult was that for you to initially kind of like show like, hey, I suffered a spinal cord injury, I'm having to use a wheelchair to get around, things like that?
I think it was really hard at first, especially like back then it was just all my friends from high school. It wasn't you know, now I have so many different people that I follow in the community and stuff of spinal cord injuries. But I think the very first person I remember back then, it was maybe a year after my accident, her accident happened. I'm sure you follow M. Carey from, I think she's from Australia. She was in a skydiving accident.
Yeah.
She's like very popular and she just wrote a book and stuff. So I remember being on Instagram, seeing her post about her story. And I was like, holy cow. Like if she can share that she's, you know, peeing her pants or whatever was going on with her at that time, like this is like a super vulnerable thing. And she like people like I, that was my first initial I don't know what the right word is, but the first initial post and that I'd ever seen or I had really been aware of that people were posting more about like the vulnerability of their stories of life and stuff. Because at first it's kind of like social media, people just want to post the happy things and, you know, sunflowers and butterflies and whatever. So after I saw her do that, I started to kind of allow myself to be okay with doing it too. But I don't know, it was really hard because the more I posted it on social media, the more real it was in my mind. It's like, the more I post about this, it's like, this is what is really going on. But it was my, that like everyday life is, this is what I'm dealing with. And, you know, so it's still even to this day, like I think about it. And sometimes when I share stuff, I'm like, this just feels weird, or maybe it's just, you know, too much, or I don't know. But every time I do, I always get like the best support and everything like that. But even on my hair page now, some like once a year, I'll post on my accident date about what happened. And people who I've been in the industry for 10 years now since my accident happened, and some people still didn't even, they've met me and everything, and they had no idea. And it's like, I live with this every single day. Like it literally affects, I mean, everyone who has it knows, even if it's the slightest thing, like being, can't even put your own shoes on sometimes, or, you know, whatever, being in pain. And that is my life. And so it's a little bit easier now, but it over, I mean, 10 years has gone by and I still have a hard time sharing it on social media.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Amber, I'm curious, from like the day of your injury to now, like what do you still struggle with? Cause like I said, obviously it looks like you show a lot of videos and pictures and stuff of you and your boyfriend and your friends traveling and doing like all kinds of very cool things, going to like concerts and things like that. But what's your biggest struggle right now, I guess?
So like I said, I can't run. I can't stand on my tippy toes. Like I can walk, but the way that I walk is very like, some days are better, some days are worse. And at almost every single day when I'm out and about, someone, some random person will be like, did you roll your ankle? Are you okay? Why are you limping? You know, like someone has to say something. But I feel like the main thing is, you know, I just have kind of like a little funky walk. And but I am like, I get nerve pain every single day. I feel like that's probably the biggest hindrance at this time. But yeah, I have drop foot on my left foot still, so I can't pick up my left foot and put it out all the way. So I kind of, you know, sometimes when I'm walking, I don't wear my brace that often anymore. Unless I'm like going long distance walking or traveling, I'll bring my braces with me. But yeah, so I kind of trip over my left foot sometimes. But other than that, like, who needs to run anyways? I never liked to run anyways. It's fine.
Yeah, no doubt. So I know, you know, going to like festivals and stuff like that, and on some of the trips you've been on, how difficult are those to go to now? I did see a post that you had made like a year or two after your accident, saying, or maybe it was even more than that, but it was saying that, like, you know, you felt so accomplished because you had gone to a festival and you're like, I only fell down once. And, you know, it was great to get back out there. And so you said something about like that you had felt like that was probably something, it was one of like your favorite things to do before. And like now you felt, and you had kind of come to grips that you would never be able to really do it the same way again.
Yeah.
You were finally able to. And, you know, do you talk about like how difficult like traveling is with spinal cord injury compared to how it was before?
Yeah. So before, when my accident first happened, for the first couple of years, I traveled with my wheelchair. Long distance walking was like not something that I could do. And at that time I had, you know, for instance, I went to EDC the year after my accident happened and in my wheelchair. And it was probably I'm glad I did it, but also I probably shouldn't have done it. And I wasn't with the right group of people at that time to like really support me and push me through freaking EDC all weekend. So I ended up not going the third day, but that was when I was like, well, I'm probably never going to do this again. This is just something I got to write off. It's okay. And then I went a couple trips. I remember maybe to Chicago, like little trips. And then I went to Italy with my mom in 2019, and I brought my wheelchair. And we went to, my brother was doing an internship there at a hospital for his PT school. And I don't remember what birthday, maybe his 28th birthday, he all day long on his birthday pushed me around Rome in my wheelchair. It was like we walked like 10 miles and he just pushed me the whole day. And it's just, I think the hardest part about that is accepting people's help. And also like knowing I need that and accepting the help is hard for me even to this day. Like I was not a happy person in my wheelchair. When I had to sit in my wheelchair and people are pushing me, it's like, I want to go this way. Like, you're making me go right. I want to go left. Like, this is so frustrating, you know? So it definitely took away a sense of independence, but I think that was one of my biggest goals of like, I need to try to get out of this thing and try to, even if I have to wear, you know, two leg braces to be able to walk around a festival. But I think the biggest thing is just making sure you're with the right people and have that right support group of people who don't make it feel like you're an issue or something like that. But yeah, I think back on those times and I'm grateful for the people who kind of have helped me through that. But it's so tough. You have to relearn how to live life a different way, like completely.
Well, kind of transitioning into like what you're doing now, and you mentioned that you're like your hair page and all that stuff. So you're a salon owner. Were you already like doing hair prior to your injury, and then you just continued on? Because like that seems like a job that somebody with a spinal cord injury, like that seems like the worst job ever. Like having to stand up all day and like be on your feet and doing, you know, doing people's hair, like that seems like a lot. So how did you kind of like either continue doing that after your injury, or you know, what motivated you to do that?
So I was in beauty school when my accident happened. So after the accident, I think it probably was a little over a year when I re-enrolled and went back, but my doctor kept telling me like, you should find a plan B, doing hair is going to be too much for you, you're not going to be able to do it kind of thing. And I feel like it was maybe in that moment where I kind of just thought, I'm not going to take no as an answer. That was a good defiant moment for me. And I just remember, you know, I went to Paul Mitchell, the school downtown in San Diego. And I remember going there in my wheelchair and I was like, can I come back? Like, can you guys re-enroll me now? And she, like, the lady just looked at me and she's like, Amber, like, go take care of yourself. Come back when you're ready. If that happens, and they wouldn't let me come back, which is good because, it allowed me to get better before I jumped in that. Cause I can imagine if I went back in my wheelchair, I would not have succeeded the way that I did. Over the course of the year, I did my therapy, whatever. And I finally got the doctor's okay to go back to school. He signed me off. And so I went back to school and I did like a 7-week makeup program before re-enrolling back into the hair program, just to see how I felt standing up and whatnot. And I felt good. And I mean, it was obviously hard and what, like, I it's hard because it was like such a long time ago, but I just remember doing that, feeling good, and they let me go back to the beauty school program, and then I finished. But I think it was just, that was the, like, that was why I moved to San Diego, and I think it was just a huge factor in my recovery. I think just having that as, like, my goal for myself, and I thought I would do makeup just because I didn't think I'd be able to stand up in the salon and do hair. So I did makeup for a while after I graduated beauty school, but then one day I was just like, I kind of want to see how I feel. I won't know until I do it, type of thing. And, the person who hired me, I assisted someone in a salon, and I just remember sitting down and telling him like, this is what's happened to me. I don't know what I can do yet. Like, I can't carry heavy things. Like, I don't know how much help I am to you, but you know, and he was so nice at that time. He was just like, well, he made a joke. He was like, so you're telling me you can't run across the street and get me a monster when I need one? And I was like, I like didn't know if I should laugh or cry, because it was still like a sensitive subject at that point. But he took a chance on me, and I worked with him for 5 years. I think it was just, I just worked really hard and got really lucky too, because it is really hard even to this day. When I work long days, I like halfway in between the day, I get some nerve pain. But I feel better standing up all day than I do sitting all day. So like my days off, or if I'm on the computer, or if I'm going on a road trip or something like that, it's, my back hurts way worse than when I'm standing up. It's like my legs get tired, or my feet are a little swollen or whatever, but my back feels much better. So it's actually, you know, kind of good, but I don't know. It's pretty crazy to think.
I was thinking of that after when I, you know, I'm like, well, she's a salon owner. I was like, I have to ask her about that.
It's, but, yeah.
How difficult that was to start out. But, you know, when did you actually open your own salon then?
So I got keys to the salon June of last year. So it hasn't even been a year yet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was, I worked for that guy for about 5 years, and then, I was his employee, and then I booth rented. That was maybe October of 2022. And then from October to June, I just booth rented and kind of started my own business. And then, the salon that I own now was actually previously a salon. And so it was a good way to kind of get my foot in the door, and not have to like renovate a whole salon. So yeah, I took over ownership, and it's like an 8-chair salon. It's perfect little starter thing. And I have 4 employees right now, and it's every day I walk in there, I can't believe it's my life.
Awesome. What's the name of your salon?
It's called Salon Aurora.
Salon Aurora. And well, anybody's in San Diego, go get
yep.
your salon. Well, Amber, how can people, you know, give your social media links out, so that, and I'll attach everything to the show notes so that people can follow along on your journey and check out your hair salon and all that sort of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. My hair page is at Amberger of Hair. So it's like hamburger spelt, but Amberger of Hair. And then my salon page is _SalonAurora_. But yeah, those are my two main accounts for my hair stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. And then if you want to give out any other of your, like your social media, your personal social media page, if people have questions or anything.
Yeah. But yeah, of course, my personal social media is just am.baranzini. I'm totally willing and open to talk about all of it. Because I don't share much, I feel like spinal cord people don't reach out as much, but when I was sharing, kind of going through stuff, I feel like people were reaching out and asking me questions and stuff like that. And I'm totally open to, you know, giving some hope and inspiration to people. But it's so hard because everyone's injuries are so different. Even if you have the same level, you know, some people recover way differently. So
true. So true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you know, I appreciate you. I'm glad we were finally able to make this happen. I know I've been hounding you for like what seems like over a year. I mean, it's got to be forever.
I'm sorry it took so long.
No, it's all good. I know everybody's busy. So yeah, I just try to like keep, yeah, I'll forget I sent people a message. I'm like, oh, let me go, you know, circle back and see if I can contact her or whatever. So, yeah, no, I'm glad we were able to make this work. And, yeah, we will, you know, I'm super excited to get this out to everybody. I think it was a great interview. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for having the show for people. And I'm so glad I could be a part of it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Amber.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That was Amber Baranzini. I want to thank her again for coming on the show. I think that's so awesome that she continued on with becoming, you know, going to beauty school after her injury as well, Ricardo, that, and, you know, she said that she was like trying to pull up to the school to continue on in her program. And they were like, you need to go take care of yourself, get, you know, heal up a little bit, and then we'll get you back in here. So, yeah, she was super motivated, and she's like gone so far and has now owns her own salon down in the San Diego area. So everybody should check that out. I know she said the name of it. I'll put a link on
Aurora. It's Aurora
Salon. You're right. Absolutely. So yeah, we will definitely link up all that stuff. If you're in the San Diego area, go check her out and get your hair done. But yeah, she just an amazing lady. And the fact that, yeah, I mean, I just thought that was like, I mentioned that in the interview, like, hey, that's an interesting profession to go down after a spinal cord injury. You don't think of being on your feet all day, doing people's hair has got to be tough. I mean, even though she can get around a bit, she talks about the long days, her nerve pain really acts up and things like that. So salute to her, and she's doing a hell of a job. And yeah, I definitely want to thank her again for coming on the show. It was great to get to visit with her and hear her story. And I think she said this is the first time she's really told her story anywhere. So, we got the exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said before, with other interviews that you've had, Jeremy, we're all snowflakes, right? Everybody's different. We're the same but different. And her story is really unique, and her recovery is really unique. And it's great to see people defying the odds, and when she said she rolled up there and said, "Hey, I want to do this," they said, "You take care of yourself and come back." And it takes a lot of determination and grit for somebody to be turned down, but then to come back. It's a really inspiring story. And now she's a business owner and employs people, and it's pretty impressive.
No, it's amazing. It's really
Yeah.
amazing. So I'm happy for her, and yeah, we'll definitely be continue following her and give you guys any updates that we find out. But yeah, and link up with her through social media, and she's like she said, she's willing to answer any questions and talk to anybody that has those questions. I just love the spinal cord injury community is so deep, man, that they we all like I feel like we all really try to help each other out, which is awesome. So again, yeah, thank her for coming on. I know this is a little shorter of an episode, but yeah, we will be back next week. I got another couple of great guests lined up for us over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, we will be back.
All right, sounds good, Jeremy. Thanks
Please
again.
listen. Yeah. Please listen, like, rate, review, share the podcast. We appreciate you all, and until next time.